Welcome to the latest edition of Auto Insider, where we're talking cars, car dealerships, and mostly crap about both. I don't know about you, but I think we're about ready to get started.
Hey, Zach here, one half of Your Auto Advocate. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Before we jump in, I just wanted to remind you that back at the YourAutoAdvocate.com website, we have our upcoming release of our free browser extension that allows you to have Auto Advocate insights as you browse the web. Imagine being on CarGurus, Cars.com, or a dealer's website and having our recommendations about a suggested offer price, how negotiable the vehicle is, how many days it's been on the dealer's lot, that information and more directly in your browser. Just head to yourautoadvocate.com and sign up to get early access. Now let's hop into the episode. So Dad, we're back and I'm really glad to have you back. I feel like it's been a long time since you've been on the podcast, Dad.
I think 10 or 12 years now. I'm not 100% certain.
The scary thing is, though, it's your podcast, and I feel like I had to put the team on my back the past 3 weeks. You can't be putting that pressure on me, Dad. You know I rely on you.
I'm sorry to have put such pressure on you, but from what I understand and from what I've listened to, oh my God, you did a much better job without me than with me.
Yeah, we did have a couple comments come through via email, info@yourautoadvocate.com, asking for Randy to be the new Auto Advocate. So we'll have to... No, I'm only kidding, Dad. No one wants to replace you. They love you.
Well, I was going to say, well, then screw those people and screw Randy.
No, we like Randy. We appreciate his insights. We like our listeners. And with that in mind, Dad, let's hop right into today's episode. We're going to talk about negotiating a car deal amidst everything that's still going on with the coronavirus pandemic. A lot of people are at home. There's all sorts of research out that's talking about how consumers are buying all their things in life through online channels, your groceries, your everything. I mean, you can do your fitness at home, and people are buying their cars from home as well. And so we want to talk about and frame up how you can start the car buying process and negotiate a car from home. You could be watching Netflix, finding a car you like, and go down the path of negotiating it. And so I'm thinking, Dad, we can talk about a bit of strategy around it, some of the tools people have access to, those awesome email templates you put together, and hopefully people get some value out of it.
Well, I would hope so. And it's I'm not going to say it's easy to negotiate a car deal from home, because most dealerships, the vast majority of dealerships, still live in an old school world where pre-COVID, pre-taking care of customers, they'd rather just do it their way than what makes the customer more comfortable. But you can utilize, for instance, the email templates that I have put together that we've made available to our listeners and our viewers to help start the conversation by explaining to whatever dealerships you contact what it is you're looking for, where it is that you live, and what information you're requiring from the dealership in order to, well, move that process forward so that you can ultimately end up purchasing your car and they can end up, well, actually selling a car, which is, well, what the hell they're in business for.
But Dad, I guess one of the first questions I have is the strategy any different? If I'm buying a car online in 2020 amidst a coronavirus pandemic, is my strategy to negotiate a car deal any different than it would have been a year prior when I could have walked into Bob Bell Ford and tried to buy my Toyota Tacoma at Bob Bell Ford? Never mind, my Ford F-150. You know what I'm trying to say. What's different, or is it the same?
It's the same, but you're just using a slightly different platform in order to do it. And the reason I say it's the same but slightly different is because ultimately it all comes down to who assumes control within the confines of the negotiation. And whether you walk into the dealership and establish that control by stating to the salesperson that you meet, listen, here's what I'm here to accomplish today. Here's the information that I'm looking for. Here's the information I'm willing to share with you. And I want to keep all the BS to a minimum. Are we in agreement that we can do it the way I would like to do it? If the salesman says yes, then guess who's got control? And the same applies when you're doing it via email. You are establishing through the email template what it is you're trying to accomplish, how it is you want to accomplish it, and what information you're looking for. And when the dealership reads that and they get back to you and their response is, well, when can you come in so that I can show you this car? Your response to that could be, well, I can't come in before you provide me with the information that I've asked for. You still have, as most consumers do, but they don't realize it, you have the ultimate power, and that's the power to say yes or no. That's the power to spend the money or not spend the money. And realistically, that's your leverage that you're holding over their head, whether you're holding it over their head in person or by email, text, or phone call. It's you still have the power. So it's the same, but slightly different.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And you're right. I mean, in any negotiation, you really need to be in a strength of or position of strength. You need to be able to walk away. And the great thing about buying a car at Bob Bell Ford is you can go right down the street to you know, Jack Johnson Ford. I don't know if Jack Johnson. His music. I don't know if he has a Ford.
Jack Johnson was a former heavyweight champion in the world. Okay, in the early 1900s, Ford didn't give him a dealership, nor would they have considered giving him a dealership. But maybe you go to Apple Ford. You know, you find another Ford dealer. There's plenty of them in the Baltimore area.
Yeah, whether you're in Baltimore or you're in Belarus, yeah. You can, you know, the same thing applies. The idea is...
Did you just say Belarus?
You never know where people are listening to our podcast from.
Oh, my God. Yeah, let's all head down to Belarus Ford and see what kind of deal we can get.
Uh-huh. No, I'm pretty sure Bob Bell Ford has a satellite dealership in Belarus. Come on, Dad.
Yeah, I'm certain he does. Yeah, absolutely.
Digital life, man. Everything can be done online. But the yes. point I'm trying to make is you can always walk away. And this actually reminds me of some of the probably the best advice you've ever given out on either our YouTube channel, through these podcasts, or in our written guides. It's when to buy a car, when you don't need it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the strongest time for you to buy a car is when you don't need it, because there's no pressure on you to do anything. Every consumer, whether they realize it or not, has the ultimate leverage. And it's a two-letter word. No. When the dealer says, will that work for you? No. That's the ultimate leverage. Can we sell you a car at these numbers? No.
No.
Well, yeah. What numbers might work? Well, if I were to say this, will that work for your dealership? Well, no. Well, good. let's keep working until we can find yeses from both parties. But the consumer has the ultimate power in the simplest of forms, just a two-letter word that controls everything.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, and it resonates with me. It does bring to mind another question, Dad, though, which is, at what point does the transaction go offline? Because obviously, in today's day and age, there are some dealerships out there, and I'm thinking like Carvana, right? You just buy the car sight unseen, potentially, or you can go to one of their Ferris wheels. I mean, amusement parks. I mean, vending machines. I always screw it up.
Yes, you do.
You know, you can go, but like you can buy cars sight unseen. But for a lot of people, if you're buying it again from Bob Bell Ford, you're going to the dealership to take delivery of that vehicle, or they're coming to your home and you have to sign the paperwork there. And so my question to you is, what's the transition point? And then what else can or should you be aware of to negotiate when you are back to being in person? Because if I'm not mistaken, you can negotiate on the finance and insurance products as well. And I guess you could say no to those too.
Oh, absolutely. And truth be told, you're better off doing that at the dealership, because if you agree to have the car delivered to your house and you've agreed to all the numbers, well, you know, at that point, all the paperwork and contracts are drawn up. So, yeah, you might want to say no, but there's there's no way for them to print up another contract or to make any changes to anything that's been agreed upon. So there's strength in negotiating by email, phone, or text. And then there's additional leverage and strength if you actually go into the dealership to complete the transaction, because they're expecting to make a delivery. And if suddenly you find something that you disagree with in the finance contract, or they've added something, or there's just something that seems amiss, you can stop the process. And trust me, when they think they have a delivery, they'll do everything in their power to make sure they continue to have that delivery. They'll figure it out. So if let's say the finance guy snuck in a LoJack that you didn't know about,
that's never been known to happen before.
Never. You hit the big T for a timeout and you go, what's this? I'm not paying for this. Or, you know what? I was interested in LoJack, but not at these numbers. So what can we do here? Well, if I could save you $100, would that work? And then once again, use that two-letter word, no, and you negotiate that. But if you're doing it at home while you're taking delivery, they can't reprint a contract. They can't reprint a buyer's order from your house. So that's why it's important to actually go into the dealership and complete the paperwork there, because you have extra leverage at that point, because they have not only scheduled you to come in and take delivery of a car, but they are counting on that sale. And if that sale suddenly becomes threatened in the finance office, believe me, sales management will do whatever they need to do to keep that deal together.
Hey, Zach here, one half of Your Auto Insider. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We really hope you're enjoying it. If you're interested in learning more about Your Auto Advocate, check us out at yourautoadvocate.com. We have some really exciting things going on that can help you during the car buying process. For example, Deal School was just launched. This is a 50-video, 6-quiz series, about 2.5 hours, that walks you through the process of negotiating the best car deal possible. Get access to things like Deal School and more for free at yourautoadvocate.com. Okay, let's get back to today's episode.
All right, so one final thought when it comes to negotiating right now amidst the coronavirus pandemic, and then I want to pivot, Dad, to kind of market conditions. We do our weekly market update back on YouTube, but if people don't watch the YouTube videos, we should give them a little insight here on the podcast as well. My final thought, though, on how to negotiate right now is your favorite saying. We got merch coming with this, by the way. If it's taxable, it's negotiable. So if it's on the buyer's order and it's taxed, you can negotiate it.
Absolutely. There, you know, certain state fees you can't negotiate because, well, A, they're not taxable, and those fees are set by the state. Things like dock fees are taxable, so you can negotiate those. It is one of my favorite sayings. If it's taxable, it's negotiable. Never, ever, ever forget that.
Yeah, no, I remember when you would tuck me into bed at night when I was like a 6-year-old, and you'd say, you know, good night, Zach. If it's taxable, it's negotiable. And I'd say, thanks, Dad. Now I know. Yeah. And it was just, super. It's resonated with me ever since then.
Well, you know, it's good to know that my little nighttime chats preparing you for a future in the automotive industry have really begun to pay off.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's pivot down.
Yeah. With you, it was not good night moon. It was, if it's taxable, it's negotiable.
And this little piggy went to it was not story time. It was not reading
books.
Yeah,
this little piggy went into the F&I office and said, no.
A children's story by Ray Shevsky. Yeah, that we might need a hardcover version of that. We'll have to see.
Yes.
All right, so let's pivot. Let's talk about current market conditions, because if you're listening to this and you're thinking about how do I negotiate a car deal, there are a few things to bear in mind in just the broader trends of the market, where you can get a deal and where you can't. So, Dad, can you just give us a few key kind of high-level points about the current state of the used and new car market?
Well, the current state of the, both the new and the used car market is that there's a shortage of both. The manufacturers have not been able to get up to full manufacturing capacity since they've reopened their plants. And so there's a shortage of new cars being built and being shipped to the dealers. And a lot of those cars are actually pre-sold before they arrive. On the used car side, there has been a shortage, or as I like to say, a dearth of used cars for months now, and the market is still strong on the used car side. What we have seen, thankfully, over the last 5 weeks is that wholesale pricing on used cars is finally starting to go down. Week over week for the past 5 weeks, there has been a reduction in the wholesale values that dealers are paying for these cars. And actually, last week was the first week after 18 straight weeks where wholesale prices on used pickup trucks went up. Last week was the first week where we've actually seen a decline in the wholesale value of pickup trucks. And since this has started to happen, it's taken about 5 or 6 weeks, but we're actually finally starting to see a softening of the used car retail prices. So as a customer, having that information, you can at least go and start the conversation with, I understand what the market conditions are, and I understand that even though there's a shortage of used cars, there is a softening of the used car market. Not as many people are shopping for used cars as they had been, and that retail and wholesale prices are starting to come down. How can we get this price a little lower?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's another favorite saying that we have on all of our shows. It's knowledge is power. And this is real-time yes. data that's coming from a company called Black Book. They're one of the biggest, most well-respected automotive research firms in the United States. And this is what's happening. And this is what dealer personnel and staff are aware of. And now you are too. And so you pair that with your email templates, which are back at yourautoadvocate.com/guides. You'll find the templates there that my dad's written. You have your email templates. You have your understanding of the market conditions. You have the market price report back on yourautoadvocate.com as well, which can give you the market conditions for a particular year, make, model, and trim of vehicle. I mean, you've got a couple of tools in your tool belt, and you can pull them out and you can wield them, and you can then have a more level playing field if you're trying to buy a car amidst everything that's going on.
There's two things that are extremely important. Knowledge is power, or there is power in knowledge. Mm-hmm. And most people don't possess a real understanding as to how the automobile business works. And we're trying to provide that understanding so that with that additional knowledge, they can protect themselves better when it comes to negotiating a selling price on their new or used vehicle. The other thing, as we like to continually say, and we've said earlier, is if it's taxable, it's negotiable, and most people don't realize that. But that's an important concept that people need to understand, that if the dealership is allowed to tax whatever item it is that they're trying to charge you for, that means you can negotiate how much you're willing to pay for that particular item, or not pay and ask them to remove it completely. You know, these are things that will ultimately make it easier for people to understand how the car business works and how to best present themselves to get a better price on what it is that they're trying to buy.
You forgot the third thing that's really important to remember,
which was
your favorite two letter word.
No.
Yeah.
No, like I didn't forget it. I didn't forget it. I just didn't mention it at the moment. Okay, so I forgot it. Okay. Yes. The third thing is that my favorite two-letter word, no. Okay. And no means no. And it stops the process. And it returns leverage and control of the process to the person that is uttering that two-letter word.
Yeah, no, and I remember, you know, you would say, you know, if it's taxable, it's negotiable, right before I'd fall asleep, and then I'd wake up in the morning and say, hey, Dad, can I have ice cream for breakfast? And you'd say, no.
No. No. No ice cream for you.
Yeah. All right, Pops. Well, I think we've covered our bases here. We appreciate everyone that tunes in for the Auto Insider podcast. And Dad, I got to tell you, I'm glad you're back on the show. I missed you there.
Well, you know, I actually missed participating on it or in it or, well, being part of it. But I'm back. And as they used to say on Mike and Mike, I'm back and better than ever.
Yes, you do sound really good.
Well, thank you, honey. I feel really good.
All right, Dad, I'll catch you later. Thanks so much.
Yep. Thank you, handsome. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.